Welcome to the website. I'm glad that you were able to join me, and I hope that you enjoy the teaching. I believe that it will be inspiring and encouraging, and if anything else, I pray that it provokes you. I was in Lima, Peru recently with a team of missionaries here from the States, and we were there doing a school of ministry. This outreach program particularly was geared towards helping to train youth teachers and ministers and children ministers and pastors in the country of Peru. They came from all over the place, and there was even some that traveled as much as 18 hours to get there. And so there's a hunger there, but there's also great darkness over the country of Peru. When we get through with the training of the students and the teachers that are there, we always do our outreach to the community when we do these mission trips. This was no different. We got permission, although it was a verbal permission, to preach the gospel and do an evangelism outreach there in the town square of Lima, Peru, which happens to be the capital of that country. When we got to the town square, there were some opposition. Someone had called the mayor of the city and said that we were making too much noise, that we were taking up an offering, and that we were trashing the town square, in which none of that was true. And the police and a government official came and shut down the electricity and forbid us to be able to use the sound equipment to reach those that were in that surrounding area that could hear us. And in fact, that we were instructed to whisper. Well, that did not sit well with me, and I thought, you know what, God, there's something wrong with this, and this is where the enemy comes in to kill and destroy and to stop the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just decided I wasn't going to be a part of that. I wasn't going to whisper. And so I stood there and I began to pray, and my friend Wincy Caskey was with me, and she was standing there taking pictures, and we were praying and interceding. We had walked the town square praying in tongues and just binding and loosing and believing that the Spirit of the Lord was going to have a place to be able to minister there. And when we came back and found out that we were instructed to whisper, I thought, you know what? Paul didn't do that, and we know Jesus never stayed quiet. And so I thought, Lord, what can I do to make a difference here? And so I began to pray in the Holy Ghost and began to just move closer to the official and to the police officers, and I stood right there where they were, and I began to pray in tongues and pray in English, and I began to see, like a movie, how Paul would go into cities and turn those cities upside down. And I thought, Lord, we've got to make a difference and an impact while we're here in this country. And as I began to pray and intercede for the people and for the government of Peru, the official and the police officers began to inch their way further away from me, and I just began to inch my way closer to them. And I thought, I'm not bowing, and I'm not bending, and I'm not burning. I am going to stand here because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is a power unto salvation. And so I would just pray, and I would speak out the scriptures as the Lord gave them to me. And the official that was standing there was kind of staring at me like, I don't really know what you're doing, lady. I need to get away from you. And so it wasn't long until some of the police officers, and I do believe that they understood English, and at least they understood and felt the presence of the Lord. They began to, one would walk away and another walked away. And the next thing I knew, there was just one or two standing there with the official that had been set over by the mayor to stop and shut down the evangelism thrust that we were having. And he would just stand there and he would stare at me, and I wasn't moved. I wasn't moved by what I could see. And I knew that if we didn't take a stand in the Spirit right then, that the effect of what we have done that whole week was going to be stolen by the hands of the enemy. The Lord began to show me that there was a spirit of the Antichrist and the spirit of the false prophet trying to rise up in that capital city of Peru. And we just began, Wincy would stand there as she was taking pictures, and she was praying and I was praying, and I was just believing that God was going to have his way no matter what. And the Lord began to show me, like a open movie, what Paul did. When Paul entered into the cities, he was constantly being charged with acts of, rioting and charged for and being accused of turning the city upside down. And I'm thinking, Lord, why are we not turning cities upside down? I don't believe we're doing that as much as we need to in America. I know that we're not doing enough of that in the countries that we go and evangelize. And sometimes we give in to the pressure of not wanting to offend. And I know that there's wisdom in going into these nations and going into situations, being wise as a serpent. I mean, being wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. But then there's a time to just stand up and put your life on the line. And that's what the Lord asked me that day. I heard so loud the scriptures in Revelation where it said, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the words of the testimony, and they did not love their life unto death. And there's coming a time in the days ahead and in the years ahead, if the Lord tarries, that we're going to be faced with these issues. Are you going to take a stand for Christ? Are you going to stand there and proclaim the good news of salvation to a dying world? I remember looking at the people while I was there for that week, and I was looking at the environment, and I was looking at the government, and I was looking spiritually into the realm of what strongholds were over the country of Peru, and there's great darkness there, but there's great opposition and there's great oppression. And the Lord began to show me that even in their natural lighting at nighttime, when you go through the cities, streets of Peru, the light is very dull. It's like a city under a constant muted light, and there's no light there. And when I would watch the people walking down the streets of Peru and getting on buses and in the marketplaces and in the restaurants that we would go, not just at the school of ministry, we could see that as well there, but I would see that they were like people that were walking without light in their feet, being prepared, you know, with the light of the world coming at them, and that they were in great oppression. And the Lord had us intercede. There was one night that there was four of us on the team that stayed up very late interceding and praying over the people of Peru. And the Lord just was so strong that night. And you know, the Lord is constantly looking for people and intercessors to stand in the gap. And in Isaiah 59, I was shown that there was injustice in the streets of the city. In fact, the Lord says in Isaiah 59, verse 9, it says, therefore justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. And I'm not saying that there's not saved people in Peru. I'm just saying that the overall oppression is one of darkness, and where the enemy had the nerve to stand up against over 300 and something students, children pastors, youth pastors, pastors of churches, and our own team was intimidated by the official saying, you can only whisper. I just find that offensive to the gospel. You know, I don't mean to be critical, but I'm saying that if we can't take a stand and have a mouth for the Lord and begin to speak boldly before magistrates and before governments and before authorities in the authority that Christ has given us, then we don't need to go and preach. I believe that when we see an injustice, we've got to turn it back. We've got to stand for righteousness. We've got to let truth fall in the streets of the cities that we are there evangelizing. We've got to look for evil to depart and make Jesus Lord in those countries. And I know that it displeased the Lord when he did not see justice there. And he stood. I know the Lord spoke to me. He said, I wonder that there's no intercessors. And I said, Lord, I'm an intercessor. We are intercessors. There were people on the team that was there that were intercessors. And we stood and we prayed and we interceded for that country and that nation. And I believe that there was going to be in the days ahead with the team that was with the children, not the children, but with the pastors that came to be taught how to minister the gospel, that they're going to take a stand in their villages and in their cities when they get back. And I believe that the enemy is going to go out one way, and that the Spirit of the Lord is going to come in and set up a standard against him, that the Redeemer of Zion does come, and he does turn the transgression from the city and from the people and from that nation. And I believe that in Isaiah 59, verse 21, it says, "As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My Spirit is upon you, and my word which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore." And I believe that the Lord is saying that our children are going to rise up and be bold as lions, and that we're not going to shut our mouth in intimidation and fear, but we're going to speak forth the word of God as men and women of God. I'm reminded in Acts 16 when Paul and them were in this city, and there was a certain slave woman, a girl that was possessed with the spirit of divination, and she would follow them around, and she was saying the right words, but from the wrong spirit, because she'd say, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of the salvation." And she did this for many days, and then Paul became greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Are you willing to be dragged into the marketplace in front of the authorities? Are you willing to take a stand and not allow any demonic spirit to come in and taint the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we willing to take a stand when there are spirits that are rising up to deceive the people and declare that there is some other gospel besides the gospel of Jesus Christ that can set them free? Like Paul, do you get annoyed enough to stand and proclaim the gospel in the face of your enemy? The Lord is saying, people, get ready. Be prepared. Are you prepared to lay down your life for Christ's sake? I know that as Americans, we're challenged to be prosperous and to succeed and to have beautiful churches. And, you know, we sit and we get to hear all kinds of messages come forth, and thank God for that. But we sometimes miss it because we don't experience what's going on in other nations. We only connect through the news media and what we read. And I believe that every Christian ought to go to another nation and see the oppression and see the deception that is over nations. We think as Americans that we're not deceived, but I tell you, there are many times that we are deceived as an American Christian church. We are so Christianized according to our mentality as Americans that we don't even understand the full impact of the gospel. Some of us have an experience going to other nations and having to stand and be annoyed because of the strongholds that are in those countries. And Paul was a man that wouldn't take it lying down. He was a man that would stand and declare the works and the words of God, and he didn't care if it led him to jail or to prison. It goes on in Acts 16, verse 20, he says, "And they brought them to the magistrate, and they said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city.'" Oh, Father God, may the Christians begin to rise up and trouble the cities that they are in. May we rise up and begin to take a stand for righteousness in our cities, in our communities, in our villages, in our towns, in our countries, that we will just dare to lay our life on the line. And it goes on, and they were accused of teaching customs that were not lawful for them, being Romans, and that they didn't like that the multitudes rose up against them. And you know, Paul wasn't moved that the magistrate tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And they were beaten. Can you imagine? Have you been beaten for the sake of Christ? Absolutely not. Most of you that are listening to this have never even encountered real strong opposition for your faith. And I'm grateful that you haven't, but I'm telling you, the Lord is saying in these last days we may be brought into that position that we may have to lay down our life. Are you willing to stand there and be beaten for the sake of Christ? Are you willing to go to prison? I love that the story goes on and tells about Paul in Philippi, where he and Silas are in prison, and they're praying and they're singing hymns to God, and the prisoners are listening to them. And then suddenly, a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosened. I think that's awesome because Paul was in prison for the gospel's sake, and yet God didn't leave him there. And, you know, if you fear sometimes, you're thinking, oh, Lord, if I take a stand, what is going to happen? Am I going to be left standing all alone? The Lord says, you can be in prison, but I won't leave you there. And that's the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Lord says, that he'll never leave us or forsake us. The story goes on and says that the guard began to ask, sir, what shall I do to be saved? And they said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke of the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and his whole family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with his whole household. If it had not been for Paul and Silas taking a stand in the streets of that city and being thrown in prison, that guard and his household may have not been saved. And that's what we need to be willing to put our lives on the line for. What if we are in prison for the gospel's sake? What if we are leading one person into the kingdom that might affect his whole family? And that family can affect the neighborhood, and that neighborhood can begin to affect the nations. And so we can't take lightly when we're put into positions that we can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know the other scripture that the Lord gave me while I was there standing on the town square in Lima, Peru, was Matthew 24. And it starts in verse 4, and it says, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass, that the end is not yet. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquake in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrow. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness, it will abound. The love of many will wax cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all of the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come. We have to keep in mind that according to 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. We've got to remember that when we speak forth the word of God, that we are bringing a power and an opportunity and a presence of the Lord to hasten to perform his word, and that we're looking for good soil for that to fall on. And if we'll just heed and listen and be obedient to what the Lord is saying, that yes, it may seem foolish to the people that are around us that are spiritually dead and can't understand, and their mind is yet carnal, and they don't have the mind of Christ. But it will be life to those that are perishing if we will speak forth the word and allow the Holy Spirit to draw men into Christ. A couple of other scriptures that the Lord spoke to me was Jeremiah 1, verses 9 and 10. And it says, and this is what we have to pray, Lord, put this word into my mouth, put it into my heart. In Jeremiah, the Lord said, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. And that was verse 17. And then verse 19 in Jeremiah 1, it says, they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. And I believe that if we will just begin to be bold, trust the Lord, ask him to open our mouth, for him to put his hand on us and let us stand and be one of those that will be set over nations to pull down, to root out, to destroy, to throw down, and to build and to plant. And it's all not about destruction. The Lord is coming to these people that are lost and perishing with a word of life and life abundantly. He wants to build them up. He wants to root them in the word of God so that their roots are so deep that nothing can blow them over. Nothing can pluck them up. Nothing can take them away from the kingdom of God. And we've got to realize that there's a fight on our hands. And yes, many are going to come against us. And yes, there's going to be many fights. And yet, they will not be allowed to prevail against us. Not in the spirit realm. We've got to understand that we've got to have, like Daniel said in 5:14, I've heard of you that the Spirit of God is in you and that the light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. That's what people have got to see when they looked at us, that there's a light, that there's a understanding, that there's an excellent spirit of wisdom, and that the Spirit of God is on our life, and that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And it's time that we rise up. And like I said at the beginning, that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So there's no one, there's no country, there's no group of people, there's no tongue, tribe, or nationality that does not need to know Christ. And in these last days, are you going to be bold enough to stand up? Are you willing to lay down your life? Are you at a place that you're fasting and praying and getting the mindset of what the Lord is saying? Are we willing to be living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him? You know, I find that it's easier to feed our flesh than it is to fight the spirit of the enemy. We would rather give in to the dictates of our comfort and our surroundings of fine things than to stand up in the spirit and take time to pray, take time to fast, take time to be in the word of God, take time to seek the face of the Lord. And the Lord is saying, not in these days. These are truly the end times. And whether they, you know, the Christ, you know, we don't know what day or hour the Lord is coming. Only the Father knows that. I mean, that's what, Matthew 25:36 says, but of all of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, also will the coming of the Son of God be. For in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until that day that Noah entered into the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Yeah, we're rushing and running and we're eating and we're partying and we're, you know, we think that we're in need of nothing. And yet the Lord says that hour is coming and you don't know when it is. If you did know, you'd stay home. You'd be prepared for the thief in the night. But the Lord is saying, rise up, put some power in your walk, pray, seek my face, fast. Be willing to crucify your flesh. Be willing to die for the gospel's sake. And begin to step out in faith so that, like the guard that was in the prison that Paul was in, he thought he was doomed, but God had a better plan. Paul and Silas was in that prison for a reason. And had they not been there, that man would not have come to the knowledge of the saving grace of God. So put yourself into a place. Be willing to be put in prison. Be willing to live in a palace that God wants you to do. But we be willing to be prepared to preach the gospel. So I ask you today, are you a worshiper and willing to stand up for Christ? Or are you a whisperer who's going to deny the Lord and keep your mouth shut and you yourself will be found wanting? That's the question of the day. What are you choosing? Are you a worshiper of the Most High God? I pray that that's what you are. I ask the Father even at this moment that He begins to stir your spirit and stir your heart, that you begin to be conscious of the time that we're in, that you will discern the time and that you will commit yourself to obedience, that you will walk in holiness and that you will please the Father and that you will lay down your life for the sake of the gospel. So until the next time, be blessed and we'll see you soon.